You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM. My name is David, and today I'm very pleased to have with us Lauren Southern. And Lauren is someone who's been very, very active. I've been watching her YouTube videos for quite a while, so I feel like I know her, so I'm kind of at an advantage, and she doesn't get to see my videos because I don't make any. I have a face for radio. She doesn't. So Lauren, you've been described as many things. One of the labels that comes to mind when I think of you is men's rights activist. Would you call yourself that, or what would you refer to yourself as?
Hi, David. I wouldn't necessarily consider myself a men's rights activist. I would say I'm more of just an anti-feminist.
Okay. An anti-feminist. And feminism has long been held as one of the cherished causes that anyone can jump onto quite safely and be assured that they're backing up something that is good and wholesome and apple pie and all that.
Exactly. People act like it's such a revolutionary act to say, oh, I'm a feminist, but really it's like saying, oh, I'm anti-racism, oh, I like ice cream, right? Mm-hmm. It's a very safe thing. What's less safe is to come out and say, actually, I don't think feminism is that great of a movement. Actually, I think it's kind of gone off course, and that's something I've done and I've received a lot of hate for, but I think that it's something that's important because feminism has lost its way. It's no longer, in my eyes, it's no longer become a movement for equality. Become one for supremacy for women.
That's a big statement, and I know from looking at recent videos that you've done is that you have indeed faced a lot of hate, a lot of threats, and I have to put it into context. This is radio, so I have to describe a little bit. You're a young woman. You're not a physical threat to anyone. As far as mass goes, I doubt that you're much over 100 pounds, but so you're not a physical threat, and yet people seem to be very, very threatened by what you say and what you think.
Well, this is our culture of people thinking that words are genuinely harmful. We've been taught to be so weak that we genuinely believe that words on a screen can break our bones. And people will say that is literally harming people to disagree with me. I need a trigger warning. I need a safe space. What people seem to not realize is not only do you have a power button on your social media devices, you don't have to go and listen to these speakers. You don't have, like, these, when words, most of all, words do not hurt you. And in your life, you're going to have to hear different opinions. You're going to have your ideas challenged, and that's healthy. But people don't seem to hold that tenet very highly anymore. They don't want to hear other opinions, especially not opinions that are critical of feminism like my own. I'm deemed dangerous. My speech is deemed dangerous. And that's very scary because we should be having these discussions. We should be challenging each other and having a battle of ideas instead of just accepting one ideology as the truth, one ideology as the end-all be-all. And that's what a lot of feminists I'm finding are doing.
Yes, and so feminism has, in your words, lost its way and has turned into something that's quite different. I think you even go so far as to say that feminism is harmful to women.
Yes, I actually do believe that it has been a movement that has been very harmful towards women, and that's why I'm very against it, because it's created this victim mentality in women. If you're a young girl and you go into classrooms and you're told constantly that the world is against you, that there's this giant patriarchal conspiracy to ruin your life and tear you down, that people aren't going to hire you at jobs, people are going to treat you worse because you're a woman, that every man out there in the world is a rapist, that we live in a rape culture, all these very exaggerated tenets of feminism, you're going to grow up believing you are a victim. And that's the self-fulfilling prophecy, that it's an actual psychological thing that happens to people when they're told this their entire life. It will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. They will be less likely to go into situations. Instead of going into sciences, maybe they'll take women's studies because they'll think, well, everyone in sciences is sexist. It's all going to be men. I might get raped. They'll treat me worse. When that, quite frankly, is not the case. Women are hired 2-to-1 over men in STEM fields. They're actually treated better. But when they're told their whole lives that they will be a victim, that they'll be treated poorly in all these situations, they will see themselves as a victim and they will act like a victim when really women have so much potential to do the exact same as men.
Yeah, well, equality used to be an idea of feminism. Now it's more equity. And the two words, I admit that for a long time I didn't know the difference between the two. Mm-hmm. But there is a huge difference between equality and equity. And if you could touch on that a little bit.
Yes, for sure. So equality is just the idea of everyone having like equal opportunity, everyone being offered, let's see, how do I explain this? So if the way I've seen it explained best is like a racetrack. Equality would be everyone starting at the same point, mm-hmm. and equity would be everyone starting at staggered points. Now, that's how feminist theorists would describe it, because they think that the racetrack is curved. But really, I don't think that women are that much at a disadvantage that racetrack is really curved. I think that equity is giving certain people an advantage because you think that they are less privileged, because you think that they have less skill or ability. I personally do not underestimate women to that extent, to think that they are so much weaker than men that they need to have their own special minority privilege rights. I think that women can achieve and succeed under an equal society rather than an equitable one. And it's very patronizing to women to say that they need that extra step up to achieve the same as men. It really does not follow the tenets of believing men and women are equal if you think that they need an extra step up.
Yes, and it goes quite a bit further than that, too. I just want to remind everyone, I'm very happy to be talking today to Lauren Southern. And Lauren has a lot of YouTube videos, and you'd do well to go and check them out. A very well-spoken young woman who is a Canadian, right, Lauren?
Yes, I am. I live in Vancouver.
Yeah, so we have quite a few Canadian women who are standing up and saying things about feminism. There's also Karen Strawn, who I interviewed a couple of weeks ago as well. I wanted to go back a little bit to what you were talking about with the notion that feminists, the third wave feminists that are kind of rampant today, are actually doing harm to women, and that instead of providing them with equality, they're trying to give them extra advantages. But at the same time, that's kind of destructive, because if you apply it to different spheres of life, it ends up making women feel like they're less than men and less than human, and in some cases but definitely less than men, because one thing that's come out a lot is this whole rape culture. And I know that you went to something called Slut Walk and held up a sign saying, while you were with Milo Yiannopoulos, and he was holding up a sign saying that rape culture was a myth, and you had another sign saying that
regret is not rape.
Thank you very much. And for that, you were kicked out of a public park and out of a public space, right?
Yes, yeah, we were kicked out of the Amber Rose Slut Walk. And that was, I really do not like those events. I don't like them one bit, because they, not only do they achieve nothing, it's these girls going out there wearing nothing, twerking, They're literally twerking and rape, and I interviewed the men there, and they literally said, yeah, I'm just here to see the hot naked chicks. These chicks are achieving absolutely nothing going out there wearing nothing, and they have no idea what they're doing there either. I've interviewed them, and they have no idea what they're achieving or what they're protesting. What they are doing, though, is they are harming people more in two ways. One, psychologically, convincing women that we live in a culture where men everywhere want to rape them, which, quite frankly, is not the case. The majority of men do not want to rape women in the West. The majority of men highly, highly respect women and would defend them in those cases. And secondly, I genuinely believe that these slut walks are causing more rapes. And that is because we do have a culture where you can make preventative moves to stop rape. Of course, not taking any preventative moves doesn't mean you are guilty for your own rape. Of course, it is always the rapist that is wrong. However, if I were to go out and I were to hang a $100 bill from a string and walk behind me, and that $100 bill were stolen, no, it would not be my fault, but there would have been a lot of things I could do to prevent that. What SlutWalk does is when you go there, they say it is wrong for you to take any preventative moves. It is wrong for people to tell women to take any preventative moves. And it's wrong for people, for the police to suggest things that they can do that statistically will make them less likely to get raped. For example, police reports have shown that if you go in groups to the bar, you'll be less likely to be sexually assaulted. If you obviously drink with more moderation, if you watch your drink, if you dress just a little more, with a little more clothes on, you will be less likely to be assaulted. And these are all things that are preventative. They won't always stop it, but they will be more likely to stop a rape than running around in your underwear at a slut walk.
Well, that brings us to a very good point, which is how often are women sexually assaulted? And I've heard the number 1 in 4, 1 in 5. Those are terrifying numbers. Mm-hmm. The thing is, as I've watched your videos, they're not true numbers.
No. Even the people who have created the studies, the 1 in 4, 1 in 5 campus symptoms, have come out and said, sorry, this isn't that great of a study. It was a small sample size. And not only were we not asking these women whether they were raped or not, we were asking them whether they were sexually assaulted or not, and included being touched on the arm. So that 1 in 4 statistic you're seeing that's being conflated to 1 in 4 women are sexually assaulted on campus is really just 1 in 4 women were potentially touched on the arm on campus, and it's a very small sample size on one campus or a couple campuses, and they have no way of confirming whether this happened or not either. So it's that study is such a fear-mongering study that has been debunked so many times.
It was something like a 25-minute telephone survey where they called, I think, 2,600 people. They only had like a 20% response rate. And one thing they don't talk about is that they also called men. So as many men reported being sexually assaulted, if you go by the parameters of the questions, some of which were have you ever had sex after having after being drunk?
Yes.
And also, have you ever received unwanted gifts? An unwanted gift, really.
And that's the problem with this whole rape culture thing, is there, I'll ask them, I'll say, so we don't have very many rapes that happen here compared to other countries. Our rape rates are declining. We don't live in a culture that supports rape. And these girls at the slut walks will always tell me, well, you know, Lauren, we have people that catcall people on the streets. We have a culture where men still think they can open doors for women and stuff. And I'm like, the fact that you can conflate catcalling and whistling to the crime of being raped is very sad, because you have countries where women genuinely are raped and stoned to death for the crime of being raped. That is a rape culture. That is something that is just an awful, awful place to live. And we, thankfully, live in a culture where men do not stand for that, where men are very, very against rape, for the most part, and where our legal system is against rape, our government is against rape, our education system is against rape, and they're conflating a culture where catcalling and flirting is okay, which I think is a good thing, I quite frankly enjoy both, to a culture where women are stoned to death for the crime of being raped, and it's just not a healthy mindset, or an accurate one, for that matter.
No, it's very insulting to men as well. I've seen, that's what brought me to your videos in the first place, was someone had mentioned what a great thing SlutWalk was, and so I looked it up and I saw people carrying signs saying, teach men not to rape. And mm-hmm. I'm 64 years old, I've never raped and I don't intend to. I mean, teach me how to not rape. I mean, it's so insulting on so many levels. And then I kind of sought out people who were talking against it, and that's how I came across your videos, which were really very, very well done, by the way.
Thank you. Well, you're seeing it on campus with young men all the time now. George Lawlor at Warwick University in the UK was the first one to come out and stand up and say, I am not a rapist. I do not need to take a consent class. I know what rape is, and the majority of men do know. Actually, if you grow up and somehow make it to 20 years old and do not know what rape is and isn't, that is a far bigger problem than needing consent classes in university. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a you haven't left your house kind of problem in 20 years.
Yes.
These men, they know what rape is, and they know that this whole thing is just a patronizing event to lecture men into a feminist narrative. It is not going to achieve anything. And if you genuinely think, if someone goes into a consent class and thinks that having sex with someone without their consent is okay and acceptable, and if they are a rapist, no consent class, no telling them the difference between no and yes is going to stop them. They're not going to go in there and think, you know what, you're right. Raping women is now not okay for me because I went to some patronizing lecture. That will never happen. I don't think consent classes have stopped one rape. They're just there to patronize young men and for feminists or these professional community organizers and campus club organizers to have one day where they get to feel they are controlling the narrative in this classroom. It's a power trick for these people.
I'm talking with Lauren Southern, a person who describes herself as an anti-feminist, something that's won you all kinds of love from the feminist groups. And Lauren, I can't help but ask, how did you get started in this?
How did I get started? Oh, man. Let's see. It was a while ago, when I was quite young, actually. I remember just a few instances in my life where I noticed, quote-unquote, my female privilege, and I hate using the term privilege, but seeing that women, in a lot of cases, I wasn't oppressed. I was getting jobs and positions and getting to speak at certain things simply because I was a female. And I've been told that. I remember I went on TV when I was younger in high school to talk about a political election, and the news presenter actually told me that I was chosen over the very intelligent, well-educated guy beside me because they wanted a young female to talk about politics because that was rare and they needed that. And it's very true that we have a lot of quotas today. I'm far more likely to get a job in the military if I apply for that as a woman, as an officer or something. I'm far more likely to get a job in government if I apply for that as a teacher. All these different things just because I'm a female. So it was very confusing to me to be told right after seeing my real life experience and the real life experience of many women, I have to add, compared to what I was being told in classrooms growing up, that I was oppressed, that I was a victim, that I was going to be mistreated by the patriarchy in all these situations. And that contrast with the real world just did not add up for me.
I see. That brings me to real life experiences. You touched on the subject of Gregory Allen Elliott, and it's quite easy to listen to what we're talking about. Someone listening to the broadcast right now and say to themselves, okay, fine, you know, maybe there is problems with feminism. What does it change in my life? Well, Gregory Allen Elliott is a good example, and I know that you followed that very closely.
Mm-hmm.
And can you describe a little bit about just what a horrible man he is and what a terrible, terrible, terrible thing he did?
Yes, Gregory Allen Elliott is a very sweet man. He's from Toronto. He went on trial for 3 years of his life and had to pay around $100,000 in legal fees for the crime of arguing with feminists online. And this is the issue that comes about with feminist exaggeration of what makes a woman a victim. So being catcalled, exaggerating that to be rape. Having someone disagree with you online, exaggerating that to harassment, which was exactly what happened in these cases. These women went forward and filed criminal harassment charges against him for disagreeing with them on Twitter. And he won the case. They said he was not guilty, he was innocent. That him disagreeing with them on Twitter was absolutely not a crime. And not only that, that these women had done just as terrible things. They had gone out and called for the harassment of a video game designer who made a game they didn't like. The whole case was just mind-boggling to watch. This guy was actually arrested and put in jail for 3 days. He lost 3 years of his life. These women didn't have to show up to court. They didn't have to pay a dime. They just completely tore his life apart. They went to the local media and reported on what a misogynist and sexist pig he was and what a harasser he was, and just totally ruined his image maliciously. in the name of their feminist ideology. And this man was found innocent. And even after he was found innocent, the media still bought the feminist narrative and continued to try and tear him apart as a aggressor in this case. But he was not. He was proven not to be by the judge.
I read the tweets that he wrote, and there was nothing in them that case should never have been brought to trial. But people have to remember that we, as taxpayers, Canadian taxpayers, paid for that. That the people who accused him didn't pay for their legal fees. That it was the taxpayers that paid for that.
Yeah.
And that's very disturbing, considering that he said nothing that was threatening in any way, shape, or form, and yet he was arrested and jailed, and you said for 3 days, but he had to post bail to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 3 years of his life ruined before he had a hearing at which the decision that the judge made was 85 pages long. Well,
yes.
Judges don't work for free, and neither do prosecutors or lawyers, and so that's a lot of taxpayer money. It would be fair if someone somewhere along the line would think to make the plaintiffs pay for what the taxpayers have had to foot for what turned out to be accusations that, in my opinion, were not really founded.
And what's even scarier in this case is this happens a lot. These cases happen a lot, but unfortunately they usually have media bans on them. And Greg has had a lot of men contact him that have had very similar cases where they didn't get an innocent verdict, where they are in jail right now for the crime of ridiculous accusations from feminists of harassment for disagreeing with them. But those ones got a media ban, and his was supposed to get a media ban as well. But these feminists that Stephanie Guthrie, Heather Riley, Paisley Ray, that came forward and accused him of harassment, they couldn't stop tweeting about it and going to the media and talking about it, so the courts couldn't put a media ban on it, thank goodness, and we actually were able to talk about the Gregory Allen Elliott case. He wasn't allowed to talk about it since he was banned from online, but people like myself and Karen Strawn and the Rebel Media, luckily we were able to address the situation.
Why is there a media ban on them?
Why do you think?
I really don't know. This is the first time I've heard that, and I'm kind of confused. Why would there be a media ban on?
Well, it would be supposedly to protect. You know what? I think it's obviously because people would be outraged at the results of these trials.
I know I would.
They'll make up some nonsense about how it protects the identities of the accusers, but. You know, they can leave those anonymous as it is. You look at the Gian Gomeshi case, where two of the accusers are still anonymous and people can still report on that case freely. But these cases that have had media bans, like I've read the letters that have come from the people to Gregory Allen Elliott. They've just had horrific effects on people's lives, where these guys go to prison for 6 years for practically nothing and can't tell anyone about it.
Hmm. That's horrible. We're talking with Lauren Southern, an avowed anti-feminist, and I have to throw out a few other names there of other, well, a lot of them refer to themselves as feminists, but they're certainly not happy with the way feminism is going today. There's Wendy McElroy. I've seen some of her YouTube videos. Karen Strawn, we've mentioned a few times. There's Milo Yiannopoulos, who speaks very well, as you do. Christina Hoff Summers, she's an American. And has these statistics down pat on especially the one in four and one in five rape figures, which are totally bogus. And Janice Fiammingo at the University of Ottawa. And also Aaron Pizzi. It's very interesting. Aaron Pizzi is the one who started women's shelters. And she's totally against feminism today.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
All wonderful names.
Yes, and so I'm just giving those names out to our listeners that they can look these things up and back up what you've been saying, Lauren. I just want to mention, you did say Rebel Media. You were associated with Rebel Media.
Yeah, I've done a lot of my interviews with them, and they've been great for letting me have an outlet for my videos. I've also done, if you want to read other stuff I've written, I've written a few great articles on consent classes and just the sexual consent laws on campuses today in the States, in New York and California, for Spiked Online. It's a UK online magazine that is a big supporter of free speech and just logic, quite frankly. So Spiked Online, I've got some articles on feminism as well that I'm quite proud of.
Well, Lauren, we could go on literally. I think I could do a 1 hour show a week for the next 4 or 5 years and never cover the same topic twice when it comes to this, because you've touched just now on so many things like freedom of speech. Yeah. And the places where it should be protected the most, you would think, would be universities. But speakers like yourself are not allowed to speak on university campuses without demonstrations, without the fire alarm being pulled, without everything being done so that people can't hear your message. But those will be for hopefully other interviews that you will grant us. Because I don't want to overwhelm the listeners with too much information at once, because it is rather overwhelming. Once I started delving into this, it just it became kind of a passion for me to find out exactly more about this. And turns out, like everything, you have to follow the money. And yes, a lot of it goes to who's getting paid to do what in the feminist movement, and what grants they get, and how the grants will dry up if the feminine cause is declared one. So they have to come up with more and more reasons why women are still being abused and persecuted by men. Some of the horrible things they say about men, really, I don't know how it got this far, but it did. Lauren, I thank you very much. Lauren Southern, please look up her YouTube videos and follow her on Twitter. Read her articles, very bright, well thought out articles that will open your eyes, and they opened my eyes. I want to thank you very much, Lauren, for being with us here on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I hope you will come back.
Definitely. Thank you for having me on, and hopefully people will find themselves jumping into this rabbit hole as well and looking into the wealth of information that is online from a few of the names you've mentioned.
Okay, thank you.